For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, not rich, not poor, whosoever, not good looking like me, not ugly like some of you. Obviously, you know, that's ridiculous. If you have your Bibles, we are in Psalm 19. Psalm 19, and we're just reading the first three verses. At the end of the service, we're going to baptize. We've got four ladies who are going to be baptized. And if you're visiting with us, we don't baptize just females. It just happened to work out that way today. So Mark will baptize the first two. And then the next two have a relationship. They asked if Micah Grant could do it, and we had no problem with that. Obviously, Micah is an important part of our church, and so Micah is going to baptize the next two. So if you see the changeover going on there and you're wondering what the deal is, that is why. So I'm very excited about that, and we're looking forward to it. Psalm 19, why don't you stand with me, please, as we look into God's Word. And the Bible says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Our Heavenly Father, I pray this morning we would hear clearly, see clearly from you your goodness, the price that you have paid for our salvation, and that there would be no one that walks out of this room without a faith and trust in you. Bless this time, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Romans chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, along with Psalm 19, says this, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. The title of the message is No Excuses. Say that with me. No excuses. Let's say, back in your dating days, guys, or maybe you're single today, listen, guys, if you're single and you'd like to be married someday, one of the best things you can do is spend money on a female. There's something powerful about that. I'm just telling you. If you try to come across as a cheapskate, a term we use is a cheap date. She was a cheap date. Well, you're not looking for a cheap date. You want an expensive date. You want to roll out a wad of cash. Now, listen, I'm telling you. You can say, well, Stan, that doesn't sound very spiritual. Do you want to get the girl or not? Okay? So, let's just say you take her out to a fine restaurant and you wine and dine her. Of course, you wouldn't wine her. You dine her. You're a Christian now. We're Baptists here. So you go out and you coke and dine her, okay? And you feed her a nice meal and all of this stuff, and you treat her as good as you can, and maybe it's a five-course affair that you're having, and the waiter comes and all of this, and the steak is just terrific, the seafood, whatever it is that you're having, and you get the dessert, and you've had the salad and all of those things, and you're just sitting back enjoying the company of one another. You can always tell how long a couple's been married at a restaurant. Because the ones that are dating or newlyweds, they're yakety, 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 talking and talking and talking and talking, enjoying each other, smiling, laughing, all that stuff. The old married couples, they're sitting there with their food, looking across the table. Silence. Nothing to say. Now, that's sad, but that's just about how it works. So when it's all said and done, you've had this stupendous meal. You're thinking, I love this restaurant. I think I'll come back. Do you ever wonder if there's a chef in the kitchen? Do you think there is? Of course there is. You take for granted there's a cook out back, or you would not have eaten. You walk out into the midnight sky and look up. Stars, Milky Way, Venus, all visible with the naked eye. They have a voice that speaks to us. It's saying there is a God. I drove to church today in an automobile, and so did you. I don't think there's anybody came on horseback. I'm told there are 30,000 parts to the average car. No question whether there's a factory or not. What's questioned is whether it should be located in the United States or Mexico, but you know there's a factory. Somewhere there's an assembly line cranking those things out. There is no speech nor language that their voice is not heard. If it says Toyota on it, Toyota is saying this is what we build. If it says Ford, if it says Chevrolet, it says whatever. Let me tell you something, human being, man, woman, child, you are walking around. There may not be any label on you, but you are showing there is a God. You were created. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Consider space. The speed of light is 186,000 miles per second. It takes 2 seconds, 1001, 1002, for light to reach the moon. It takes 4.5 years for light to reach the first star. It takes 10 billion years for light to reach the edge of our known universe. At 186,000 miles per second. How big is that? How big is your God? Consider the human body. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. My doctor says I have issues. That doesn't surprise you, does it? Okay? He says those issues are something that you will never figure out. You're just going to have to learn to live with it. Fine. But it seems to me, if we just by random chance were created over a certain period of time, give it any number amount of time that you want, it would seem to me if it can accidentally happen, then someone in their wisdom should be able to figure out what accidentally happened to this body and how come it is so complex and so intricate that there are things about us we cannot figure out. Seems to me there might be somebody infinitely smarter than you and I that created us and made us the way that we are. I'm told there are 36 trillion cells in the body. Your body makes 200 billion red cells per day, 10 billion white blood cells, 400 billion platelets per day, 330 billion cells are replaced every day. Every 80 to 100 days, all your cells are replaced. That means me being 62 years old, I did the math, there's been 223 new stands in life. As my time has gone on. See, with that replacement process going on, why are you laughing, huh? With that replacement process going on, you and I should never die. Honestly, we're made, that God made us so that we could live and live and live and live. But that was before sin came into the world. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, not because we were poorly made, but because all men have sinned. And God warned, in the day that you eat thereof, the fruit of the forbidden tree, you will surely die. And death, we'll get into a little bit later, but it certainly happens. The stats on the human are beyond the imagination. There is a creator. His name is Jesus, who the Bible says, without him was not anything made that was made. You know, I've said many times, and you've heard me say it, I don't know why every doctor isn't a born-again believer. When you look at the complexity of the human body that they're working on, I mean, it's so obvious to me. I don't know why everyone, forget the doctor, forget the title, I don't know why everyone is not a Christian. To us, to you and I that are believers, it's so obvious. I know I'm a sinner. I'm amazed at times the thoughts that I have and the wonderful life that God has blessed me with. There's a dark side of Stan Griffin. If not for the goodness of God in my life and His ability to give me a governor that keeps me from my old sinful self. If not for that, who knows what I would be? I am a sinner. knowing that I was a sinner even at a young age. One of the reasons why I trusted Christ as my Savior at 4 years old is because I believed there was a hell. Someone told me there was a place of fire that people will go to apart from Christ and be there forever and ever and ever. We grew up in a wood-burning home. In the state of Maine, that was very common. Feeding the stove. I never looked at a fire without thinking of hell as a young person. Well, I'll tell you, I didn't get saved because I was a sinner. I didn't save because I believed there was a heaven. I get saved as a young person because I didn't want to go to hell. So, well, Stan, that's not very nice. I really don't care why you get saved. I care that you do get saved, that you trust Christ as your personal Savior. I am a sinner. You are a sinner. We are going to die and go to hell without Christ. But good news, for every Christian that knows Christ, that has trusted Christ as their Savior, that has asked Him into their heart, that recognizes that He died on the cross and took your place. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him, not rich, not poor, whosoever, not good looking like me, not ugly like some of you. Obviously, you know, that's ridiculous. It does not matter your status in life or what other people think of you. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. What's the perish? Perish is hell. But have everlasting life. If you're saved and you know it, say amen. Amen. How great is that? It's free to anybody that wants it. Anybody. I don't know why everyone's not a Christian. The Christian life, knowing Christ as your Savior, He is such a good friend to me. I want to say that He is such a good friend to me. He's always been there for me, tough times, good times. I love Him. I can't recommend Him highly enough. And yet, the Bible clearly teaches there are more unbelievers than believers. Doesn't that break your heart? So very quickly this morning, I want to give you three groups of people that do not believe. Number one, there's the deniers, refusing to admit what is actually true. Charles Darwin would be the first famous denier. Origin of the Species, he hated his dad. His father wanted him to be a doctor, but he failed medical school. He passed out during an autopsy on a cadaver. Said he couldn't do it, told his father, I'm not going to do that, I can't be a doctor. So his father decided he needed to be a preacher. So he sent him off to seminary. Went to seminary, met a biologist, did some traveling, decided to perfect the idea of creation without a creator. He wrote The Origin of Species. People before him had considered evolution, but Darwin took it further than anyone before him, and now the world loves to deny God through the absurdity of evolution. You can thank old Charles Darwin for that. He is the definition of a denier. Denial will keep you from trusting Christ. You know, we see denial every day in so many instances, and I won't take the time to point out some of the things, but you just watch for denial in your life. Even if you're raising young kids. Did you clean your room? Oh, yes. Huh, I looked in there and it didn't look that way. Well, I don't know why. That's called history revision. You know, it didn't happen, so let's rewrite it so it looks better. Denial. The deniers refuse to accept what is obviously the skies and people are screaming to them, there is a God. Not only is there denial, there's deception. Believing a lie based on half-truths and false assumptions. Eve was first deceived in 2 Timothy 2:14. The Apostle Paul writes, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. 2 Corinthians 11:13 and 14 says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. No marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. We're warned about deceivers. You are being lied to through evolution, through denial, through control. Lies are for the distinct purpose of two things. Number one, to make the liar look better. And number two, to get the person they are lying to be controlled by the lie. They want so much to control us and make sure that we do not have the freedom that Christ offers. Satan is the author of lies. When you are lying, you are preaching Satan's gospel. But John 8, 31-32 says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews who believed on him, 'If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free.'" Christian, the Holy Spirit is in you, and he gives you a discernment that the world does not have. Use that discernment. Stand on the truth, because your friends and loved ones are being lied to by powerful forces driven by Satan. And I get mad at the Democrats. I get mad at some people that say they're Republicans but are not. I get mad in politics and different things. I get mad at somebody that's a good guy and they're just trying to crucify him. And there's people that, you want to be careful what you say, but there are people that really, really irritate you. Let's just put it that way, mildly. I heard this recently, and it makes sense to me. They say, now I've not tried this, you can go home and try it if you can find some, but if you take a bunch of black ants, throw them in a jar, and then you take a bunch of red ants, throw them in the same jar, the red ants and the black ants will live harmoniously together, not bother either or each other, until someone shakes the jar. And then when you shake the jar, those ants will turn on each other. I think that's a great reminder for us that don't you get mad at the people that seem like they're the enemy. Get mad at the one shaking the jar. Get mad at Satan, because he's the one that's causing the trouble. And those people that you and I get so upset at, God Almighty loves them, died for them, and wants to change their life if they'll just trust him. You'll know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. There's the denier, there's the deceiver, and finally, the last one that doesn't believe is death. Death doesn't believe. You know there's an actual enemy called death? Death will be destroyed one day. But right now, you know, the numbers on death are impressive. One out of one dies. 10 out of 10 dies. 1,000 out of 1,000 dies. Everyone dies. We make plans to eat because we know we'll be hungry. We can make plans to sleep so we own a bed. We plan for every event within our power, but we don't plan on dying, and that is the one thing that is more sure than anything else. Death will happen. Revelation 20, verses 12 through 15 says this, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. And catch this. "Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." That is the second death. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And so some wise person in their own wisdom may say, "You know, Stan, I've heard this stuff before. It's not the first time for me. And I've decided I'm going to handle it this way. I think you're wrong, but I recognize there's a chance that you're right. So my plan is this, is that when I die, if there is a God of love and grace and mercy that you say that there is, then when I stand before him, I'll just tell him, oh, by golly, that Stan Griffin was right, that grandmother was right, that loving person that told me about you was right, I wasn't sure, but I'm sure now. And I want you to know I believe. I want that love and grace and mercy that I was told you are offering. Sorry, you crossed the deadline. Once you're dead, the deadline, you get no other chance. The choice is yours now. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of judgment. Well, you know, I'm not 90 like that Charlie Perkins. I've got time. Who says? It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Just as real as we celebrate your birthday, we don't celebrate it because we don't know when it is, but it's already on God's calendar of when you will die. And for some of you, for one of you, it could be today, could be this week. It could be way sooner than you thought. And if you're not ready, you are either a denier or a deceiver, or you died, and now you stand before God Almighty, and your time is over. I got news for you, and this is a bold statement. Try this on. My name's Stan Griffin, and I am not going to die. You can say, well, wait a minute. That's not possible. Oh, yes, it is possible. See, in Christ, the Christian does not die. They only change addresses. I am going to live forever. Now, there may come a day, and it may be soon, when there will be a casket laying here with my body in it. We take the nose out so the casket can move right up here. And you folks will all come by, and you'll be weeping and crying, and it'll be so touching. I've thought about this many times. Let me, just give me a second. I want to ponder. And folks will say, oh, Stan Griffin died. No. Stan Griffin will be more alive than he's ever been before. I'm going to be with Jesus, my loved ones that have gone before me. And I'm telling you, I am going to be living it up. And if I can see any one of you walking by my casket and you're not crying, I'm coming back, okay? Now, you know that's not true, but listen to me. In Christ, if you know Christ as your personal Savior this morning, you're not going to die either. Now, you will leave this physical body, but the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I'm just leaving this old pathetic vehicle that I ride around in that is not getting better. It's getting worse, and I hate it. We're going on vacation, and I won't be able to do the things that I'd like to do on vacation because this body won't allow me to do those things anymore. But you know what? There's going to come a time, baby. I'm going to get a whole new one. Only in Christ can you talk like that. Don't miss that. Only in Christ can you talk like that. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Paul asked, who shall deliver me? The answer is, Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Absent from the body is to be present from the Lord, or absent from the body to be ever separated from the Lord. Every now and then when I see a terrorist killed, I think, and in hell, he lifted up his eyes being in torment. Because that's what happens, just like the rich man in Luke chapter 16. Don't let that happen to you. Know Christ. Choose him now. The heavens declare the glory of God. There is no excuse.